Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILI.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. Tom, a lot of big victories last night. We zeroed in on a couple of games here, but I got to tell you, Grand Ledge had all it wanted from Okemos over there. And when the Chieftains went up 17-14 in the third quarter, there was some gasps in the crowd, and a lot of people thought Okemos is for real. Couple of big plays. Dario Bongiorni had an 80-yard run.
Right. He's a playmaker. Now, what's the difference between this Okemos team from this year versus last year?
A lot of things. Maturity, I think better line play, tweaking of the offense, some additions to the coaching staff.
They still run that single wing, though, right?
They're running a lot of pistol.
Oh, okay.
They've made some changes. I think they've done a really nice job with the system. And Mac McKerney, who was going to be the quarterback, decided not to come out for football.
Right.
And that changed a lot of things. A lot of people at Okemos said, what's going on here? But he's determined to play basketball, and I think he's got some interest from Grand Canyon, which is going to be a legitimate basketball program now out in Arizona. And a couple of the state GLIAC schools are interested in him in basketball. And who knows what will happen. I guess he blew up this summer, so... a lot of things for him to do there, but certainly they thought that he was going to be a key part of the Okemos football program, and they've done a great job without him.
Yeah, so, I mean, watch out for Okemos. Watch out for any of these teams in the CAAC blue. It sounds like to me, I mentioned earlier, you know, Jackson's had some struggles, but everybody else looks like they're going to be a tough out, including the Everett Vikings. I know Anaje Miller went down, and we don't know right now as far as the status of that, correct? As far as
checking on that right now.
Yeah, but regardless, you know, this is a Sexton team that beat Holt pretty bad, beat Waverly pretty bad, and here comes Everett with and they seem to have so many young players all the time, and they gave Sexton all they could handle last night.
I want to bring Scott in here. He's kind of coordinating our prep coverage. And he did a nice job chronicling what happened last night at Hazlitt DeWitt. But your overall impressions on this game and, the way you were telling me after the game, it was kind of chaotic at the end.
Yeah, it was kind of a confusing game the way the coaching went. There was, I think, four straight possessions back and forth of turnover on downs. Just something you don't see very often when a game is that close. And they were all in the opponent's territory, so no field goal kicking really. But... I mean, as soon as Hazlitt scored with, I think it was 2:43 left, I put on Twitter, and I think I texted you, Jack, of can DeWitt do it again? And it was kind of a dumb question because, of course, they could. I mean, no timeouts. It didn't matter. They finally got the ball moving through the air. They had a few drop passes. I know one of the fourth downs, on third down, there's a drop in the end zone, which would have been an easy touchdown, wide open drop. On fourth down, Jordan Johnson dropped what was a sure first down, nobody around him, just dropped the ball. Mm-hmm. That was one of the turnovers on downs. The way they were able to get back in the game, it was unbelievable to stay with it. And to come back, I mean, Nathaniel Deke had the block on the extra point.
How important was that psychologically? Could you
it was huge. That was
changed.
Oh, yeah.
Going from one down to being even.
Definitely. You knew that you didn't have to score after that. It was just if you could score. Right. And that made the whole difference to him.
Andrea, you saw DeWitt last week against Portland come back and score with 35 seconds to go and then have to knock down a pass at the end zone on one of the most bizarre finishes we've seen. But you know how fast they can score.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they did it in 30 seconds last week, if they have more time than that, there's no doubt that they can do it.
Yeah.
You know, there was a critical part of the East Lansing game we haven't touched upon. It is right near the end of the game.
Yeah.
2 minutes to go in the game. Andrea, you chime in on this one. A fourth, I mean, basically it was 12 men on the field. Was that what you heard in the press box?
Yep, it was illegal participation.
Illegal participation, which is a nasty penalty because it's 15 yards. And Hull had just punted.
It's not 15 yards, it's 5 yards. That was the same penalty on the last play DeWitt had, that they had 12 men on the field, so they got five
yards. Was it marched off? How much did they march off?
I think they had 10 or 15, because it was fourth and long.
It was fourth and long, yeah. And all of a sudden it was first down
yeah.
in this game.
Because that's what happened on the last play. Hazlitt had the ball at the 38 after the kickoff with 10 seconds left.
Well,
12 men on the field, five-yard penalty.
Let me tell you something. And the punt went short, and the East Lansing would have had the ball 2 minutes to go in the game on the short side of the field with one timeout. So, I mean, and I think
that was a big penalty.
Well, here's another part of it. And I think East Lansing, from my understanding, was trying to call timeout. And the referee
official
couldn't
never
hear it. It was very loud. It was a very loud venue last night. I think that. And now I don't know all this. You know, that's the bits and pieces. When you're in the stands, you don't get that. You know, you don't get the full interpretation. But I think that's what happened. And that was unfortunate. Would have really been interesting to see if East Lansing could have knocked one in. I mean, Tyler Tucker had a 34-yard field goal earlier in the game. I mean, they get a first down, they could have tied this thing up and, you know, potentially had overtime at the very least.
Well, there are some other teams that certainly deserve applause for their performance last night and thus far this season. You know, we talk about the CMAC, and the beauty of that is everyone plays everybody, and that's their whole year. And they got 10 teams, and they play nine games, right. And that's it. You're in conference. And we've had Fulton with a tremendous run. We had Langsburg with a Cinderella season last year. No one could have anticipated what Potterville did. But maybe we're kind of getting back to the traditional. It looks like that Fowler Powama Westphalia game is going to really mean something.
Isn't that where it all comes down to?
It looks like, you know, for a long time, that was a Michigan
both sides of the field and all that stuff.
Exactly. You know, they're four deep all the way around the field.
Yeah.
And that Williamston-Lansing Catholic game is going to
be
terrific. We've got a lot to look forward to the rest of the high school football season. In hour two, we're going to be talking with Howard Griffith from the Big Ten Network and Dave Jones. Talking with him about Alabama and Penn State. And kudos to Penn State for taking on that challenge. And Adam Rittenberg is going to be checking in, and he is in Columbus with the Ohio State-Miami game. Dr. John Braccio will also be with us, and we'll have a lot of opportunity from 9:50 on for Open Line, 393-3700. And, of course, you can follow us at 1320WILS.com. You can listen live on the streaming, or if you are gone, if you are out, if you are headed to another game, you can catch any of these interviews later on our tape segments. We will be right back with more Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, The Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS.